If you'll do these two things here, I promise you, you can have satisfaction in the most depressing, distressing situation of life. It doesn't matter if it's COVID-19 or whatever it may be politically. It doesn't matter what goes on in the midst of everything you face in life. You can and you will have satisfaction if you'll do these two things.
Thank you for joining us today. That was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church right here in Concord, North Carolina. You can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. If you'd like to join us, our address is on this website. You can also listen to other sermons, find out more about us. Please, whatever you do, time is running short. Please get your life right with God. If you'd like to join us, our services are Sundays and Wednesdays, 10:45 Sunday mornings, that's tomorrow, and of course Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We also live stream those services on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord on Facebook. God bless you. Here's Pastor James Strickland.
I want to preach today about the secret of satisfaction. There's probably many more secrets or whatever that I could share, but I want to share two things today. I promise you, if you'll do these two things, you can have and you will have satisfaction in your life. Turn with me, please, to Psalm number 63. Psalm number 63, I'm going to read the complete psalm, 11 verses. This is a testimony, partially, of King David as he was running from his son Absalom, who was trying to overthrow his kingdom. David had to flee the throne, and he was in the wilderness. And this is a product of some of his experience there in the wilderness, Psalm 63. David says, "Oh God," good place to start, wouldn't you say? Yeah. Good place to end too, wouldn't you say? "Oh God," he says, "thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped." You know, beloved, many people search maybe a greater portion of their lives for satisfaction. And it's not limited to lost people. I've dealt with over the many years Christian people who are searching for satisfaction in their life, and many times they're not finding it. Have you found satisfaction yet? You have to answer that for yourself. Are you still seeking satisfaction in your own life? Many people never find satisfaction because, first of all, they're seeking it in the wrong way. Those who have found satisfaction in our lives, we know where to look for it, when to look for it, and in whom it comes, don't we? We know this, it comes from the Lord. It only comes from the Lord. Do you want to know that satisfaction in your life if you don't have it today? I want to share two things with you in these verses that I promise you, you can do, and I promise you, you will have satisfaction in your life. It's a strange thing to look at this passage and see that King David found satisfaction in his life in a very depressing, distressful situation, as I shared just earlier. He was now on the run, you might as well say, like a fugitive, had to flee the throne. His son was trying to overthrow his kingdom. So in a haste, David had to flee to the wilderness of Judah in Jerusalem and took what he could with him, and now David's a man on the run. Would you expect a man on the run in a situation like King David to find satisfaction in the most unexpected period in his life? If you'll go back at your leisure and read in 2 Samuel chapter 16 through about 18, you'll find the story of his son Absalom, who the Bible says stole the hearts of the people of Israel, and he thought he could just overthrow his father and take over the kingdom. Well, rather than lay a trap for his son, rather than have his son executed, David just flees the scene. How stressful he must have been for the king of all Israel to have to abdicate his throne, to flee into the wilderness. What a depressing situation it must have been in David's life. Psalm 63 tells us how David found satisfaction in this particular time in his life. And if you want to have satisfaction in your life, if we'll do the same thing that David did, we can get some good help here from King David to find out how it is, what is the secrets. Like I said, maybe more than what I'm going to share, but two main things. If you'll do these two things here, I promise you, you can have satisfaction in the most depressing, distressing situation of life. It doesn't matter if it's COVID-19 or whatever it may be politically. It doesn't matter what goes on. In the midst of everything you face in life, you can and you will have satisfaction if you'll do these two things. Not very difficult to understand. Not very difficult to do. Let's use David's example here in our lives. Do what he did first of all. David turned his faith unto God. If you notice that in the very first four or five verses there. The Hebrews teaches us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. I'll say this, without faith, it's impossible to find satisfaction too. You won't find satisfaction, you can't please God without putting your faith in Him. So David turned his faith upward in this time in his life toward the Savior, not inward toward himself. That's where a lot of folks really get tripped up in life. They don't turn their faith upward, they turn their faith inward, and if you do that, I promise you, you're headed for doom. See how David turned his faith toward the Lord in this time in his life. He turned his faith, first of all, into the very person of God in verses 1 through verse 4. See his example here. See it well in our lives. He turned his faith upward. Notice his faith. He came to God with a thirsty soul. Verse 1 and 2. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. David was a very thirsty person. He couldn't go to church, so to speak, couldn't go to the temple, couldn't worship with the other worshipers. He was fleeing for his life. But he came to the Lord with a thirsty soul. See his personal desire here. He said, I will trust thee. I will do it now, he says. I will do it early, right now. Don't we need to do the same thing David did? Trust the Lord now, trust the Lord early, trust the Lord personally here. We need to seek God just like David did. He was in dire straits for his life. He needed God now. Don't we need God now more than ever? We certainly do, don't we? His past experiences with God were proof to him that God would be with him. The past experiences that we have in our lives, the past experiences of our church leads us to believe that God has been with us in the past and God has not deserted us. He will be with us in the present, will he not? Yes, he will. He'd seen God, he said, move in the past. He'd seen God in the sanctuary. He'd seen God move among God's people. He wanted to see God not just in the past and remember how good God had been. He wanted to see God work now in the present. Isn't that what we need? To see our God move in the present now, see God working again in the church family, throughout church and throughout the world. We've seen God work in the past, so we must come to God with our faith, put our faith in the person of God. He came to God with a thirsty soul. Will you do that today? Will you come to God with a thirsty soul today? But notice something else. As he put his faith in the person of God, he came with a thirsty soul, but he also came with a thankful soul. Look at verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Why would he lift up his hands in praise to God? Because of God's loving kindness for him. He had experienced it over his life. Even from a lad, David came to know the Lord, and God had blessed him. And now he says, Lord, your loving kindness is better to me than life itself. Now, he had a reason to say that because his life was in question. I say again, he was on the run like a fugitive. If Absalom could have found him, his life would have been in dire straits. He would have been executed. He said, Lord, I know this. I may not be living long, but I know this. Your loving kindness is not in jeopardy in my life. We need to remember that. It doesn't matter what comes in life. It doesn't matter what the politicians do. It doesn't matter what the economy does. It doesn't matter what COVID does or anything else that might come on the scene. We've got to remember all these things are in jeopardy, but God's loving kindness is never in jeopardy. He's always with us. So come to God, as David did, with a thankful soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, he says, and all that's within me. I'll bless you while I live. David, at this point, didn't know how long he was going to live. If Absalom found him, he wouldn't have lived long, would he? But he said, as long as I live, Lord, I'm going to bless your name. We ought to take the same attitude, shouldn't we? As long as we live, no matter what comes or goes, we ought to bless the name of the Lord. Put your faith in the Lord. Put your faith in the person of God. Come to him with a thirsty soul and come to him with a thankful soul. But notice something else about his putting his faith in the Lord. He came and put his faith in the person of God, but he came to put his faith in the very provisions of God in verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remembered thee upon my bed and meditate upon thee in the night watches. God had satisfied David in the past. God would now satisfy him in the present. He could be sure of that, and David rested with personal comfort in that. While David was back in the palace, God had made provision whereby David had now come to be the king of all Israel. God had brought him to that point. Now, he was in the wilderness. Now he's fleeing for his life. Would God desert him now? No, indeed he would not. See what David said. He said, Lord, I'm going to meditate upon you. He says, in my bed, in the night watches. Remember, David's running for his life. He probably had to snatch a nap whenever he could, get some portions of sleep whenever he could while he was on the run in the night watches, while he could just, you know, get ahead of the enemy, so to speak. Wherever he'd get sleep what he could. But he said, I'll meditate upon you, Lord. Yet he put his faith in God's provision to care for him now. Listen, we need to learn to put our faith in God's provisions to take care of us right now. God has met our provisions all along the way. We're still here. God's not deserted us. God's not failed us. God's not fooled us. God's not forsaken us. He's brought us to this point by his own personal loving kindness and his provisions in our life. But David said, Lord, I'm putting my faith in you, in the person of God, in the provisions of God. But he said, Lord, I'm putting my faith now in the protection of God. Look at verse 7 there. Because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. God had helped David up to this point. You could just review all the things happening in David's life through the situation with the bear and the lion, situation with Goliath, and all the time Saul was running after him to kill him. All the situation he'd been through in his life. Now David could say with confidence, God, you've been my protection all along. You've been my help in ages past. He had a lot of past to think about, didn't he? Think about your life. Go back in your life. Think about your past days, your past months, your past years. Look at where you were. Look where God brought you from to look where you are today. Couldn't we all testify and raise our hands and say, God, you have been my help in ages past, and I know you're going to be my protection in the present. David said, I find rest and I find rejoicing under the shadow of God's wings. We've told the story many times. I'll not repeat it again, but it's like a hen taking little chicks under her wings, and she gives the best protection she has to give. She'll give her life for those chicks. When you put yourself under the very shadow of God's wings, he said, Father, your right hand upholdeth me. There's something significant about the right hand over the left hand. Luke brings it out in his writings in the New Testament. The right hand to the Jew was a place of power and authority. So he said, I'm putting my faith and trust in you, in your protection. I'm under the shadow of your wings, and your right hand upholds me. I know you've got all the power, honor, and glory. And I'm going to rejoice and have glory because you are the one I'm putting my faith in. How could David lose in a situation like that? Ask us. How can you lose today? If you put your faith and turn your faith toward the Lord, and you put your faith in the person of God and the provisions of God and the protection of God, let me ask you, how can you lose? You can't. You won't. David didn't lose. God brought him through, didn't he? History bears it out. History in our own lives bear out the fact that God has been our help in the past. He's our help in the present. And whatever future we may have, God's going to be there in his loving kindness. Amen? So you'll do this, first of all. If you'll put your faith in the Lord, I promise you, you'll find satisfaction. It doesn't matter what you're going through in your life. Well, I said there were two things you could do and guarantee you satisfaction. First one is this, place your faith in the Lord. Second thing you need to learn, all of us need to learn this because we all face this just like David did. The second thing you need to do to get satisfaction in your life is to place your foes before the Lord. Did you hear me? If you're going to have satisfaction in your life, you've got to put your faith in the Lord and place your foes, your enemies, if you will, place them before the Lord. You find that here in verses 9 through verse 11. David learned, and we need to learn, that you don't have to fight your battles alone. You can't fight your battles alone. You can't face your adversary alone. We don't have to. What can we do? Place those foes, place those enemies before the very throne of God. And David did that and found pure satisfaction even in the wilderness running for his life. The best way I know to get satisfaction in your life is put your faith in the Lord and place your foes before the Lord. What did David expect God to do when he placed his foes in the hands of God? What would you expect God to do today? If you place your foes right before and turn them over to the Lord, what would you expect David would expect God to do? He expected God to handle his foes. Look at verse 9 and 10. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. Listen carefully. You don't have to face the devil alone. He's our greatest adversary. And I'll say this, you can't face him alone. His force is too great for us. As James writes and others write, the devil's like a roaring lion that just goes to and fro up and down the earth, seeking those who he may destroy and devour. He only comes for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And listen, beloved, don't matter how you think you're spiritual, how strong you are, you're no match for the devil. You can't face him alone. He'll defeat you every single time. David knew that. But also David knew if he had turned that enemy over to the Lord, he turned him over to one who can handle him and one who would handle him. If you'll remember this, turn your foe over to the Lord because God can handle him. It doesn't matter who it is or what it is. God can and God will take care of the problem. He keeps the devil from harming us on a daily basis, doesn't he? How do you think David was kept safe from Absalom? If you go back and read those chapters, I encourage you to do that. I'll kind of sum up quickly what went on. As David fled for his life and Absalom searched for him, Absalom was riding a mule through a forest, and Absalom had long, flowing hair. And as he rode through the forest, his hair flew up and caught in an oak tree or some kind of tree and jerked him off his mule and left Absalom hanging between heaven and earth by the hair of his head in a tree. And it just so happened, somebody in the army told Joab, I'd call Joab David's general, somebody told Joab about Absalom hanging in a tree. So the Bible says Joab took three darts. We'd call them spears probably today. He took three spears and he went and found Absalom hanging in that tree. And Joab killed David's son Absalom. You think God can't handle your foes? God may not do it the way you think He will, or when He will, or how He will, but I can promise you this. If you'll turn your foes over to the Lord, God will and God can handle them. Even if it's David's own son, God took care of the problem. Don't you think that's a pretty good thing to remember? That God can and God will take care of your foes. That ended at Absalom's death. That ended his pursuit after King David. God stopped that pursuit in a moment of time. Beloved, you know as well as I, our enemies around us are absolutely relentless. They don't give up. They don't go away. They may back off for a time. Then when you're least expecting it, they'll pounce right on you again, won't they? They don't leave us. So what do you do about it? You've got to turn them over to the Lord. He can handle them. He handled Absalom. That plot was done. Now then, David could expect God to handle his foes. I don't know if you expect God to handle your foes or not, but you should. If you want to be satisfied and have satisfaction in your life, put your faith in God, place your foes before the Lord, and God will handle them. David expected that. You've got to expect God to take care of your enemies. But something else David said he expected, not that God would just handle his foes, but that God would honor David's faith. Look at verse 11. But the king shall rejoice in God. How could he be so sure he's going to rejoice in God? His life was in danger every moment. But he did. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Two words in this verse I want you to notice carefully and closely is the word rejoice and the word glory. David believed God would take care of all his foes. He believed God would satisfy his life with everything that he needed in his life. God was faithful to David from his childhood days until this day. God has been faithful to this church. God has been faithful to your lives, my life, all our lives. He's never been unfaithful to us, has he? Do you believe this? David did. He expected God to honor the faith. You don't have to put your faith in God for nothing. God will take care of the matter. He said, God, you're going to stop the mouth of those speaking lies. You ever had anybody tell a lie about you? If you haven't, you missed part of living somewhere. I promise you, if you never had a lie told on you, you've missed something somewhere in life. But God, he said, is going to stop the mouths of those who lie against him. Stop the mouths of those who are seeking to destroy him. God, you're going to honor the faith that I've put in you. Just continue, beloved, listen to me, to trust God. No matter what comes or what goes. Good, bad, ugly, wilderness, palace. Rejoice in the Lord again, I say, and rejoice, Paul said in Philippians. Give him glory, honor, and praise. Trust him, just as David did. Now, I want to ask you this in closing. If you'll put your faith in the Lord and place your foes before the Lord, is there any doubt whatsoever about satisfaction and how to find it? I don't think so. Pretty simple, isn't it? Put your faith in the Lord, put your foes before the Lord. We've also, I believe, found out, at least most of us have, if you haven't, you will find out one day, satisfaction of life is not found in places, it's not found in possessions, it's not found in pleasure, it's only found in a person, only one person. And that person is our precious Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:6. Turn over there with me just a moment. And I want to show you the kind of faith that God expects. The kind of faith that pleases God. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Listen to verse 6. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, It is impossible to please him. Please who? Please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We've got to be like David, beloved. Listen, when David went before God, he wasn't looking for rewards. He was looking for the rewarder. When we put our faith in God today and place our foes before him, we're not looking for rewards. We're looking for the rewarder. God himself. He's the one who brings the satisfaction in David's life. He's the one who brings satisfaction to our souls. That kind of faith, God's pleased with. So I want to close with this. Are you satisfied? Are you living in a state of satisfaction? If you're not, here's how you do it. You place your faith in the Lord and place your foes before the Lord. Simple as it can be, isn't it? David showed us how to do that. Look at the outcome from this passage in David's life. God took care of it, didn't he? God brought David right back to the throne in Israel. And he remained king for the greater part of his older life. So, what am I saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. If you've been searching for satisfaction and you haven't found it, chances are you're looking in the wrong place or to the wrong person. Put your faith in the Lord. In him alone, he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. It seemed like here David was in a very strait of his own life being lost, and yet he trusted the Lord, and God brought him through. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how you've lived. Doesn't matter how you're living today. If you'll place your faith and your trust alone in Lord Jesus Christ, I promise you satisfaction's on the way. And those things in life that are troubling you, harassing you, persecuting you, destroying your peace every day, stop trying to fight them by yourself. You can't. You'll lose every time. Just place them before the Lord. Take your hands off that situation and let God work, and just sit back and just watch what God does. Aveda was singing about the Israelites in the Red Sea. I'm telling you, if you hadn't put your faith in God, I don't know what they'd have done to you. You wouldn't have made it. If you don't put your faith in God, you'll never be satisfied. I am satisfied with Jesus. But oh, how I want him to be satisfied with me. What about you? Maybe you're here today. Maybe they're viewing you know, maybe you're viewing us on Facebook. And you're not satisfied. Something in your life you know is not what it ought to be. You can't get that peace that you really need in your life. Then come to the Lord. Come to the Lord initially. You'll never find satisfaction apart from Jesus. It's only in him. So you well, no, Pastor, I've done that, but I'm just still not satisfied. Keep on placing your faith in Christ, whether you can see results or whether you can't. Whether you know what's going on or not, just keep on trusting God, trusting God, trusting God. By blind faith, if you have to, just keep trusting. And I promise you, you will see results in God's timing, in God's way. That way you see God gets the glory. If you can't figure it out, you can't do it, and God can, then who gets the glory? God does. That's why David said, I can rejoice, and I will glory in the Lord because he upholds me with his right hand.
Well, that was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church right here in Concord, North Carolina. If you're looking for a home church and a biblical one, not one with theatrics and light shows and rock concerts where you have to wear earplugs, and if you want a biblical church, a home church where you can actually learn about the Bible, because time is running short, we're right here in Concord, North Carolina. You can find out all about us, get our address right on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. If you'd like to join us in person, we have our services Sundays at 10:45 and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We also live stream those services on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. God bless you.